desert me.
Welcome, welcome one and all to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, all around the world, all around America. And also, don't forget the little NZ for Nazi down here in the South Pacific, broadcasting from that fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland. Sunny slave South Pacific is just shining today, getting into the winter months. Oh, yeah. Now it's going to be fabulous. A little bit more chemtrail activity, a little bit more scumbaggery, few draconian, dangerous legislations that have been passed, but it's nothing to worry about. The next government, once they get elected in, after everybody gets real sick of this particular one, we'll start implementing all those policies. Don't you worry about that. Because that's what they do. They set it up, and then they pass it to the next guy. Not unlike a football team of some description. Because they're not working for different teams. They're on the same team. And they're still heading towards our goalposts as we speak. The goal for them is complete and utter tyranny. For everybody, forever. Okay, I think that's about as serious as it gets. You know, have I missed something? Anybody else want to live in global tyranny forever? Have jackbooted, goose-stepping thugs on every corner, papers, please, etc., eternal war, all your food being rationed, having smart meters, knowing everything about your local home habits, you know, that kind of thing. Any of that sound good? No, it doesn't. Well, see, the unfortunate thing is, and once you realize that all this bad stuff is going on, then the impetus is on you to actually do something about it in a way that only you can. And today we have a guest. His name is Bill Wood, and we're also simulcasting on Wolf Spirit Radio. Bill, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Vinny. I really appreciate this opportunity to get on your show and talk about some interesting things going down in the world as of late.
Well, for those who aren't familiar, and I think this kind of includes myself, just tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do.
Very recently I've gotten involved in the alternative media world to kind of get my story out to what was originally supposed to be talk about the activities that I participated in the U.S. military in between the first Gulf War and the reinvasion of Iraq, and how I had some very credible evidence that pointed to the fact that the U.S. military, in conjunction with the private contract military, were working very hard to create the terrorist threat that we experienced on 9/11, 2001, and just was having the feeling that it's the time that people started to wake up and see exactly what happened on that day and what's been happening since, because my life was getting turned more and more upside down as I continued to let the cat out of the bag, so to speak. And ever since that time, my life has been more than turned upside down. And powers that be have been working very hard to shut me up, but hasn't worked out exactly as they planned. And the harder they press me, the louder I get, and the more attention, and the more people listen to my message. And so I've since found a nice little place at Wolf Spirit Radio, and plenty of supporters and people that are 100% behind me and taking care of me. And making sure that I'm in the game until the final play. So that's kind of where it's at.
I heard you were on Project Camelot.
Yeah, that was my first opportunity where I kind of got started out. And it was a great opportunity. I Carrie made it so I got to speak to a lot of people. It also caused quite the fluff, so to speak, between the Project Camelot community and the information that I was putting out. And by the time I had done a third interview with Project Camelot, kind of got the information that that third interview wasn't going to go so well. So I ended up having to hold back a lot of the information and not put on the show quite the show that I intended, just because the people that I'm working with didn't want the message to be co-opted and twisted and turned into a bunch of garbage. So had to wait a little bit and get things kind of put back on track. But it looks like there was a plan B, because in the past week and a half, things have been working out towards that direction. And more people are coming forward and better information is coming out. And we're even starting to see some real evidence of the changes that are supposed to be happening. So good stuff.
Okay. Well, ceasing to speak generally, well, what specifically are we talking about here when you're talking about information you're releasing that kind of changes things a little?
Well, I guess the biggest one and the most interesting next step that people are going to start to notice, well, everybody's been paying attention to the mass resignations that are going down, and back when I was talking on Project Camelot, I was talking about how this was going to be kind of carried out like a mafia investigation. And you start out at the low levels, and you get those people to roll on the next higher level in the information chain, and so on and so on. Well, as you can see from those resignations, they've gotten pretty high up the food chain in the global government criminal world, corporate government criminal world, I should say. And it's looking like it's about time for some big changes to happen. And I guess I could say that, we should expect to see some real change as far as, some people going to jail for some real crimes. And 9/11 is going to be a big piece of that, because that was probably the biggest crime known to humanity to date. So we got a big mess to clean up, and it's worldwide, and it's very, very complicated. So complicated that most people can't get their head wrapped around it. Which is why the information comes out at the pace that it comes out at. But now we're looking at, some real shockwaves going out in the world when these arrests start to happen. And I think people will be really happy.
Mm-hmm. And you were saying there about the corporate government criminals, right? And I'm starting to think that they have all started to blend together almost in a wholesale fashion, right? So I'm kind of thinking of trying to come up with a new word to describe them, sort of thing. That is that one thing, all in the same word. So it's something that means corporate government criminals. There's got to be a way to fashion a word out of it, I think.
Yeah, it's such a big, organization that it doesn't even have a decent word for it. That's how criminal and corrupt it is. And I think it's going to surprise people. Well, some will be surprised. Others, that are probably listening to this radio show right now will just be happy. But, I mean, when it extends into every financial corporation, every military contract corporation, most every government, especially here in the U.S., when we have to arrest, 600 people, and we've only got 635 people in the Congress to be shown the door and show charges against what's been going down. And plus, we've got a lot of people that aren't in government anymore, but still are very culpable for what they've done. I'm real happy that Dick Cheney has gotten a new heart, because he's going to need one in the coming days and weeks when he has to face consequences, because there was a lot of times when I was in the military that I couldn't believe that the average American was missing what was going down in the Middle East. That was about the time where private military contractors started taking over, right around the USS Cole bombing time. And, you know, I just happened to be in a position where I ended up getting dumped smack dab in the middle of it because Mr. Eric Prince, former CEO of Blackwater, to say I knew him personally, you know, back in the days when he was going through BUDS training, and he was a very interesting character back then. Nowadays, well, we know what that turned into. Yeah. Always found it interesting that he was able to get out of the Navy because his dad died, since anybody else's parents died in the Navy, you didn't get to get out. So obviously there's been a big plan for a long time, and he was a big part of it and probably knew so for a long time. It's a pretty interesting subject to delve into.
Well, I'd like you to actually elaborate on that, if you would.
Well, the Eric Prince story, basically, he was in the Navy SEALs in 1992 as an officer. Served in the military for, I think, just under 4 years before his dad died and left him, you know, a multi-billion-dollar corporation, which he probably sold. And then bought the land and the company Blackwater and started producing private military. And that military was alive and well, you know, that I knew of for certain in the year 2000. And, you know, in the special forces world and in the spycraft world, there was a lot of good information about terrorism and what was really going on, except for the real confusion back home in America was who the terrorists were. We can see it a lot more clearly nowadays with drone attacks and how the American government and military and private military can search and destroy at will to, you know, in an attempt to cause another terrorist event to where they could execute their final plan. And for some strange reason, it just hasn't worked out for them over and over and over again. And now that the truth's coming out, it's like flipping the lights on and watching the cockroaches scatter. So I'm happy that I get to be a part of fixing things, because I do know that the U.S. military was a big part of causing the destruction of 9/11. So, and being the terrorist for 10 years before 9/11, we weren't aware of it because, you know, it's not what we want to see here in America. Go ahead.
The last thing Americans want to hear is that they created their own enemy.
Yeah. But I think that that's changing. I think more and more people are becoming aware that was our fault. I mean, even Senator Ron Paul speaks about it openly, that we are responsible for creating the enemy that attacked us. You
I
know,
mean, look at
before
that.
We started dropping bombs on them, they didn't give two thoughts about anything in America past, you know, wanting the same prosperity that we seem to have.
Yeah. I mean, look at it this way. You have a whole bunch of people who don't have nothing to defeat tanks and flying Russian Soviet choppers with, you know, they got AK-47s. It's like shooting a BB gun at it. Mm-hmm. So US says, well, look, guys, you clearly can't fight, so we're going to train you with CIA training and all of that kind of stuff, espionage, sabotage, various other forms of age, and tell you that we're going to fund you now. And we're going to buy you huge amounts of weapons, and we're also going to ship drugs in, weapons in, and then the drugs out.
Drugs out, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So great, we've got all our money back because we've cooped up all these drugs. We've created an incredibly dangerous group of people that now work for us to engage in all forms of covert terrorist activity. And we've also dealt a major death blow to the Soviet Union through Afghanistan, in our perception, even though there was a heck of a lot of other stuff wrong with Russia long before Afghanistan came along.
And so, in case anybody's confused in America, just pick up the movie Charlie Wilson's War. It tells you everything we're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm. And they were called the Mujahideen, and the Mujahideen had all their names on a database at the CIA. And what's the Arabic word for database? Al-Qaeda. So, all the names of the Mujahideen who were working for the CIA are on a database in the CIA that is nicknamed Al-Qaeda, and magically there's also a group that doesn't technically exist called Al-Qaeda that has been caught going around all over the place helping US troops blow stuff up in Iran and Libya and all of that kind of stuff. The Al-Qaeda flag has been raised in Libya. I heard that. That's insane.
Yeah, funny thing about Libya is right up until we bombed them, they had, one of the best systems going for themselves as far as prosperity. And the one thing that everybody should pay attention to is they had an independent banking system that the central banks couldn't control. Very interesting.
And that's right.
We had to take them down.
Very few countries in the world at that time had zero debt. Libya was one of them. Was. Because the first thing that was set up was a private oil company and a private bank. By Al-Qaeda, of course. We'll be right back.
Bonkers.
I wake up every day as a daydream. Every thing in my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep. And all I care about is sex and violence. And every baseline is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but unless I let you give me the slip.
Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. And I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The show that you can talk about whatever the heck you want to talk about. And the show that we don't ask you the questions repeatedly of what you don't want to talk about, of course, because, you know, we just want to help you to chill out, relax, because all the people that we have on here, their life is stressful enough without some douchebag reporter or something like that coming up to them asking stupid questions. Like the Ron Paul incidents come to mind. You know how, like, back in the 70s or something, there was some douchebag who put in some racist KKK-ish type comments in a Ron Paul newsletter and sent it out. Ron Paul didn't even know about it. And the media is still bringing it up time after time. Like every single airhead TVNZ blonde that they managed to get working for them with the perfect teeth and the not and the cosmetically capped TV anchor front teeth, you know, come up to you asking these stupid questions, bringing up old stuff that doesn't matter no more. Is that the media that we should rely on to inform us about stuff? No. And I certainly hope nobody in the truth movement ever starts getting into that type of habitual cycle, because it wastes time. When you have activists who's basically, well, we're all of our lives are under threat just in a very general way. But some people, particularly those with access to specific information and can give first-hand insight, whistleblowers essentially, those kind of people, giving them platforms is, I think, one of the most noble efforts that people can do. And anybody who does it should be applauded. But of course, the problem with getting whistleblowers on is that you also really do have to listen to them and think quite a bit and figure out what kind of questions to go for, what not to, because there's certain things they can and can't say. And everybody should understand that, because I can't say it because I would go into a hole somewhere. And that hole would also then disappear along with me in it. You know, it's not like I'm going to tell somebody that I'm cheating on my wife or something of that nature and my marriage might end, you know, that kind of trauma. It's I disappear kind of trauma. that they avoid here. So, you know, I think some people don't seem particularly cognizant of that, and they just want all the information coming out right here, right now, and all. It's a bad move, I think. You know, just relax, and everything that you get to hear, be grateful for it, because at least you got to hear it. It's my opinion anyway. Bill Wood is my guest. Welcome back.
Thank you.
We were talking over the break about this previous interview that you had, and I was kind of summed it up just here now. Now, I wanted to know from your personal experience, you know, that kind of thing. Just what's your actual background? Like, where did you grow up, and who your parents are, that kind of thing.
I grew up in a town called Ogden, Utah. It's about 45 minutes north of Salt Lake City, if you know it on the map. And basically spent my entire life growing up there until I was 19. Lived with my mom primarily. My dad lived in Salt Lake and didn't see him much. He ended up passing away while I was in the military, so never really had a big relationship with him. My mom is still alive, living in a cabin in the middle of nowhere, Utah. And, you know, that was a great life growing up. After I joined the military, life got a lot more interesting. I had a uncle that ended up being very high up in the enlisted ranks in the Navy. When I was 19, I decided to join for, you know, what most people join the military for, lack of job opportunities and lack of money for college. And so, you know, took that opportunity, went into the military, and ended up getting involved in some very advanced training schools. And then from there, I was offered the opportunity to serve my country in a very covert and highly secure way. You know, ended up driving Tomahawk missiles for a living, when I figured out that dropping bombs on people's heads that didn't need to be bombed and tried to rebel against that, I got smacked on the hand pretty hard by the military, and was given a wonderful offer to go back to work or go to jail. So, you know, I chose to go back to work. And for another 3 years, I hated myself for what I was doing, but continued to fly the Tomahawks into what I knew were soft targets and, you know, small villages and non-military relevant targets all along the way, knowing what it was doing to the countries that I was operating in, and the people that were left alive told their stories. And, you know, we created a very hostile environment towards America against ourselves by doing that. After I got out of the military, 3 months later, planes start slamming into buildings called the World Trade Center, and I'm one of the only people on the planet going, I know exactly what that's all about. So, needless to say, I was a little freaked out by that. Kept my head down for a while until I saw that the military and the corporate military were getting so far out of hand that they were doing this stuff pretty much in the open and nobody really cared. And along the way, we've basically given up as a society most of our God-given rights. And it got to the point where my life was under attack so much for kind of trying to show people the truth that I felt like it was time for a change, and I stepped up and started to speak out, and again got slapped pretty hard over and over again to try and shut me up. But this time I learned my lesson, and I've yet to take the deal. So I'll just continue to speak louder each time somebody comes after me. So keep coming after me, and I'll keep talking louder. And the attacks have, ironically enough, just given me more and more credibility as to what I'm saying. So I find it very ironic that the government and corporate powers that want to shut me up are ending up kind of facilitating my efforts.
So what's your take on SEAL Team 6, the guys who went in to allegedly get the long-dead Tim Osmond, sorry, Osama bin Laden, and then, you know, dump his body in the ocean? I don't know, in the criminal realm, I think that's referred to as disposing of the evidence. And and then, magically, the whole SEAL Team 6 pretty much dies in a helicopter accident, right? In a helicopter that was overloaded beyond regulations.
This is the funny thing, is the critically important pieces of information about this SEAL Team 6 thing. Number one, SEAL Team 6 didn't exist before Osama bin Laden, you know, got shot. It was publicly denied by the U.S. military that there was a SEAL Team 6 up until this point. Number two, it's very clear that one of the helicopters on that mission crashed. You can see the nice stealthy tail rotor of the 53 that crashed. You know, the Afghanis were nice enough, or Pakistanis were nice enough to sell the pieces back to China. But I can tell you one thing, from the pieces that you see in the photographs, that was not a survivable helicopter accident. Yet, nobody died in the raid. Fishy. Then, we proceed on to the raid where SEAL Team 6, quote-unquote, goes in, captures Osama bin Laden, then kills him, then without documenting a thing. No video, no cameras, nothing. Pretty much against protocol, because if there's one thing I can say about the SEALs is that on missions, you document everything. You take pictures of everyone you kill so they can go back and say, yep, okay, we got this bad guy or we got that bad guy. And video cameras are pretty much attached to everybody's helmets. So it's funny that we have no record of any of this. And then, you know, you pointed out the other obvious point that we managed to dispose of the body of the supposed most dangerous person in the world without any verification that that's who it was. All very interesting stuff. And, you know, about as fishy as 9/11. But the thing that really gets to me, and we'll flash back to Charlie Wilson's war, the thing that turned the war around against the Soviets back in the early 80s, was surface-to-air missiles. And amazingly enough, against standard operating procedure, 22 SEALs got on the same helicopter. CH-47.
How many SEALs per chopper is there supposed to be?
One team, four people. So if one gets shot down, you don't lose, you know,
the whole
22 SEALs. And
because they're worth about $1 million each just to train them, isn't it?
Oh, if it was only, you know, that easy. SEAL Team 6 are the most highly qualified individuals, so their value in monetary figures broaches into the infinities as far as assets. In the military. Oh, no. No, you can't just replace somebody that's in the most highly trained military unit in the world. But you certainly can't take a loss of 22. It would cripple the SEAL Team community. And, you know, besides the 22 SEALs, there was a total of 38 people on the helicopter. And I don't know if that includes crew, but if it's pilot, co-pilot, and air crew, that brings the number up to 41. That's, you that's way above, say, flying payload limits for 47. So the whole story stinks. And based on what was done to me, it's pretty obvious that there were some major holes in the story of the Osama bin Laden capture. And I think I could reasonably assert that killing all those people, whether it was the Pakistanis or, you know, one of our trained, you know, Al-Qaeda operatives. But here's what I know. You know, they managed to find the one helicopter with the most valuable assets in the entire country since we invaded Afghanistan in one helicopter and shoot it down with, quote unquote, an RPG. Yeah, no. If you want to try to shoot down, if you want to try to shoot down a helicopter with an RPG, go ahead and, you know, make the same effort trying to take down a 747 with a BB gun. It ain't going to happen. They don't fly straight. They're not effective beyond 30 feet. The only way to hit them is if they're hovering. So the whole story stinks. And moreover, everybody left in the special forces community is now rocked because, let's just say, if anybody was going to come out and reveal some information, that little incident shut everybody up real quick. So it's just a perpetuation of the biggest cover-up of all time, which is why the biggest cover-up of all time is now falling apart and the information's coming out, and why I believe the mass arrests are just around the corner, because there's more information than you can print on every piece of paper in the world that documents these crimes.
Now, aren't these missions and everything supposed to be kept secret? Like, if secret missions and whatever are taking place, as the Osama bin Laden would be, all the details of that would be kept under wraps. And on top of that, even if the people died or whatever, the details of how they died, where they died, and the situations and everything, wouldn't that be kept under wraps too?
Or we'd be fed a completely BS story about what happened and why, and everybody that died in that incident died in a completely different manner, and we'll never know what happened. You know, just going to throw that out there. Not that our government would ever lie to us, because they just don't do that.
Oh, I've never seen a documented case where the government's lied to anybody. You'll see the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I was joking, of course. We're talking with Bill Wood, and we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. You can join us in the chat room. In the second hour, we'll be taking callers, so get your phones ready. Back in a minute.
Because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh yeah, sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, it's business time, it's business time.
It's business, it's business time.
That's what you mean it's business time. Oh.
It's business, it's business time.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. We go, it's the sexiest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. From New Zealand with an accent and everything, you know. And my very special guest is Bill Wood. We've been talking about SEAL Team 6 and US military and various varying other forms of scumbaggery. And it occurs to me that almost every single time when military or financial or pharmaceutical or major agribusiness is involved in any major news story, you can almost automatically write it off as being BS. And I instantly also know what the actual true story is by assuming that it's the direct opposite of whatever they're telling you. Do you find that as well, Bill?
Yeah. About a year and a half ago, I had to stop watching my TV to get the news, basically because, well, I call it white noise, or, you know, you're better off served getting your news from the, you know, Channel 3, you know, fuzz on the TV rather than mainstream media nowadays, because, you know, we've got the best reporters money can buy, and the people with the money are the ones doing the reporting, and real information doesn't come out on the TV news anymore. It's all garbled, you know, missed messages and facts about things that don't really matter. So, yeah, they're putting out good information, and it's truthful, but it has nothing to do with what's really going on in the world and what's really true. So I guess that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, yeah. They're not the best reporters money can buy, I think. I just think they're the best reporters money can buy off.
Well, you know, that's a better way of saying it. I was trying to be more polite.
Well, there's some times that you just have to, you know, take the gloves off a little and hit it like a champ.
Yeah, but, you know, then they fire that person and bring in the next guy that'll do whatever, you know, will say whatever pops up on the teleprompter.
Yeah, if you don't believe that, ask George Napolitano.
Yeah.
Fired!
Yeah, that's what happens when you talk about Ron Paul too much, damn it. You know, that's what happens when you start giving a voice to somebody who actually, you know, has a plan to get my country and as it radiates out the rest of the world back on the right track. It all comes down to following the trail of money and seeing where it goes. And I guarantee where it ends up is that funny little man behind the curtain that's pulling all the levers and pushing all the buttons to make things seem, you know, ominous and scary, and yet it's just a bunch of sad old men behind the curtain now. So the world is starting to figure out that the wizard is not so grand anymore.
And what I love it is that they've already figured it out. Like, you have a look at the stock market and the reports that's going on there, and they're like, oh my God, it's going great, and another quantitative easing's coming, that's even better, right?
My favorite part about the stock market is that nobody really pays attention to the fact that it is just a bunch of numbers, and they're not based on anything except for people's assumptions. So if you have, you know, people's assumptions and the information controlled, and you can put up whatever numbers you want to on that screen and keep everybody running around on their little hamster wheels. And, you know, they call that a working system.
So it's like a much larger scale version of somebody writing 8008 on a calculator and spelling out the word boob just to keep everybody amused.
Oh, but that would actually give us more information than we get right now. So, yeah.
You know, let's just boil it down. Because I find the worst part about the financial sector and the media is that our leaders come from the financial sector predominantly, and the media doesn't really delve into detail about their financial past.
Or present, as the case may be, right, presidential candidate Mitt Romney?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, he's a professional financial hitman.
What pies has he got his mitts in?
Let's just say, since he's the front runner for the Republican Party, that just means that he has definitely been associated with the can't be bought label. How about that?
Okay. Okay. Wait a second. We've got these little stickers that we put on products that are made in New Zealand. It's incidentally a little triangle with a little kiwi bird outline on it. It looks kind of like an eye. So it says made in New Zealand. Little seeing eye. I love it. And we slap it on all our products that are made in New Zealand, right? What if we had a can be bought off label? And we just go around and slap it on all the candidates' posters and or little watermarks on the advertising campaigns of Mitt Romney and Eye of Newt Gingrich, you know, Krochich, whatever his name is. Okay, I can't fathom how gullible some people are. The majority of people haven't been gulled into believing that this race in the United States is real. Okay, the majority of people are now switching off. You know, we're having cable TV subscriptions being cancelled in record numbers. The ratings of CNN and, for Fox's sake, news are now lower than Chuck Norris's Total Gym infomercial. Okay? the game is over, and they know it. And it's kind of like, if you've ever been in a situation where you're trying to convince somebody of something and you've already figured out that you can't convince them, so you just, you know, you just go way over the top just for the hell of it because, you know, you've got nothing to lose anyway. That's kind of what's happening here. It's becoming obscene.
Well, and beyond obscene, it's becoming absurd. To see the drama continue to play out is like, you know, having an empty bar and trying to convince the go-go dancers to get up and, you know, still shake it on stage because, you know, there's nothing behind the scenes and everybody, even the people that are in the business right now, realizing that there's nothing left. And the awake and aware crowd is way too big to control anymore. So yeah, it's good times for people like you and me, I'll tell you that.
Soon to probably be the best times, you know. I think this year, 2012, this is a big year. It's going to be a really big year, whether it's by conquest or consent or whether it's by deception or reality, this is going to be a really big year. Okay. Things are going to change big time. Everybody feels it. Everybody knows it. I don't know why. I know a few things that are going to happen, allegedly, you know, huge financial crisis, food hikes, petrol prices going out of control. A lot of private property being seized through mortgagee and foreclosure sales, things of that nature. And in other words, what else is new?
Exactly. That's the past and the present. The future, well, let's just say that's got to be different because that game cannot play out anymore. You can only take away so many people's homes. You can only jack the price of gas up so high before people can't afford it. And you can only make food so expensive until people start finding alternative solutions to, you know, getting their nutrition. And that's, you know, that's where we're at. We've kind of hit the tipping point. And if you jack the prices up more, people will start to flip out. So, you know, it's like trying to hold up a big pile of garbage up with, you know, a push broom. You push it up over here on one side, and then, you know, over here on the other side, it starts collapsing again. And it's almost comical to watch it play out in the mainstream media because there's too much good information out there, and no matter what decade of order comes up or anything like that, they can't hold back the tide anymore.
It is hour number two on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Now, I was wondering, do we actually have the capacity to take callers now? Because we've been having some weird frozenness happening in the studio room, which is strange because they're starting to go into spring now in Austin, Texas. But if we do get that up, just let me know and I'll tell your audience when to call in. Bill Wood is my guest, and talking about all sorts of stuff, really. And where's the end of the road for the New World Order is the interesting thing that I want to find out. How much information, what kind of information needs to get out there in order to really, really shake them up and bring them down? What are their deepest and darkest secrets? This is the real quagmire of stuff, because goodness knows, somebody could have, like, say, a Vatican library, you know, with all the dark secret knowledge of the world, you know, and then child sacrifice rituals and what have you. They could have copious quantities of them, couldn't they? And you'd never know. So what is it that you think you'd probably most be able to tell us all, Bill? Something very secretive and very dark and nasty and perhaps a little bit freaky.
Well, I don't think it's any one big thing. I think it's, you know, a dump truck load of very big things. On every front that's coming apart for the New World Order are these deep, dark secrets. And if you understand and pay attention to things, you know, one of the biggest, darkest secrets is that they create money out of nothing by simply typing, you know, numbers into a computer and then giving those, you know, numbers away to whoever they want. And I think, you know, what is and will be one of the biggest secrets is exactly how much money got produced and, you know, for all intents and purposes, given away. I think that, I think the one that will be most shocking to people are the sexual habits of the people involved in these big organizations and their proclivities and some of the most interesting ways that they have of satisfying themselves in any regard, and how little regard they do have for, you know, human life. It's going to be so hard for most people to believe, because it goes up into a level that it's just tough to fathom. That, you know, all of this stuff, all this conspiracy theory stuff, just one day overnight is going to come out and be real. And right now we're at the point where it basically is real. The good information is coming out, and the world has been, you know, well, I don't know about the world, but America has been so trained to basically shut down when they find something, you know, too hard to believe. It's like they, you know, go into a hypnotic trance and then snap out of it when all the unbelievable information, you know, stops coming out. So, you know, the process is such that you got to turn the volume up on the information nice and slow so people can kind of digest it as it comes in. If you go too fast, you lose the attention span, and everybody, you know, goes back to, you know, playing their video games or watching their favorite TV programs to, you know, make the bad thoughts go away. So,
Well, think about bad thoughts as kind of like bad food. If you shovel it in, you know, handful after handful, and you don't give yourself a break and go do some exercise as well and do all those other things, you know, it's going to wind up really messing you up.
Oh, agree 100%, and that's kind of why the message isn't coming out as fast as some people would like it to, because, you know, on the other side of the coin, there's a bigger, you know, population set that can't take it in. It's like drinking from a fire hose for most people. And unfortunately, you can't just dump this hard, cold reality of, oh, by the way, you've been totally duped into believing mostly garbage for about the past 100 years. Sorry, but here's the real information. Here in America, it'll just shut people down.
You were in the military. You understand the hit and run tactic, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just dump some real crippling information on people, then just walk away and let them deal with it.
Well, I'll give a good example. I don't know how familiar you are with it, but the Thrive movie that came out, that Foster Gamble put out. By the way, that's going to be free on the 5th. So everybody that's listening should be making preparations to flash that out to their contact list, because it's the most easily understood, comprehensive information set that really gets people's attention, and it's good information, even though it just touches on most of the subjects that need to be talked about. But once we start getting real information out, it's like exercising. Once people can process some seemingly unbelievable stuff, well, then you can dump twice as much on them the next time and four times as much on them the next time. And eventually it'll be like what you said. Anybody who isn't caught up, it's like, here's all the truth, you know, deal with it. And there's going to be quite a lot of people that are kind of left in the dark until the very end that are forced to, you know, accept that they've literally been living in a dream world and everything's going to be different overnight for, you know, a fair majority. It'll be tough for, you know, some of the old Republicrats here in America.
It'd be interesting. What if The Matrix, the movie, was done in a different way? Instead of waking people up by giving them all these cryptic codes and messages and trying to be all mysterious about it and secretive and whatever, what if it was just broadcast all over the place? What if instead of, you know, trying to wake people up by individually finding them and waking them up or whatever, what if it was like the truth movement? And instead of saying The Matrix is everywhere and it's everything and blah, 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 but I can't tell you what it is, I can only show you, it's more like, hey, well, bugger it, okay, I'm just going to show you, I'm just going to tell you what it is, okay? It's a giant machine that has taken control of human race and all of its potential and everything like that to harness us as an energy source, living in a virtual reality universe in a great fantasy. And once we wake up, we realize that we're really, really slaves at the end of it. Okay, you know, quick summation. Let's stop messing around with the suspense and everything there. Cut to the chase, go for the throat, and let's start waking up as many people as we possibly can. Doesn't matter whether they're the right people who need to be woken up, because, hey, look, chips fall where they may. The truth is the truth, and if you can't handle it, it'll come up.
Well, and what if the Matrix movies were produced as a giant metaphor so we have something to point to in the very near future and go, well, we tried to tell you. I mean, all the information's in there. You just got to be smart enough to realize that it wasn't a movie. It was a precursor to the truth.
It's called an allegory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the same thing with this new Prometheus movie that's coming out. And that Alien versus Predator movie, and they're all part of this kind of transhumanist sort of we all came out of test tubes from aliens type elite occult agenda, right? And they're just putting it basically in front of your face, saying that aliens came here, they taught us our civilization, they basically made our species, and they're out there, and they're here to help us, or they're here to destroy us, or this, that, and the other. It just seems like. Almost as if when you try to start putting faith in extraterrestrial organisms, you start losing faith in yourself.
Well, and that's exactly it, is, you know, a lot of people rightfully believe that there has got to be, you know, life that exists, you know, outside of this planet. We also have to understand that here in, on the Earth, there's a reason we keep our giant pet snake in an aquarium. 'Cause it's, you know, you don't want it to get out and, you know, start scooping up the other pets in the house. Well, like, you know, another allegory is, you know, we're the giant test tube planet that's allowing what I would say is a brilliantly wonderful species to develop enough to not be dangerous anymore. And as soon as we're not dangerous to ourselves, well, I have a weird feeling we'll be widely accepted in the rest of the galaxy. So kind of makes sense when you sit down and think about it a little bit.
And, of course, there's this kind of false flag alien agenda conspiracy theory that they're going to stage some kind of alien attack or anything like that. Do you have any take on that?
Well, let's just say if they can't even pull off a decent false flag attack to, you know, give us another, you know, 9/11 type of thing, I don't think the fake alien invasion is going to work out so well either. certainly there's enough quirky things that happen around the world where, you know, nuclear missiles get launched, but, you know, then fall harmlessly out of the sky. And all of these mega quake predictions and tsunami predictions have failed to manifest themselves. And, you know, about once a month, I think we hear about a major end of the world event that never comes out. So, you know, it's probably all been planned and somebody's devised the plan and they've developed the technology to do it. But then when they hit the switch, nothing happens. Now, you and I, not having, you know, ultra top secret clearance in the government, don't know this. But there's plenty of people that do know this, and when they start talking about it, which has been happening as of late, it gets very interesting, and that's why I think the Doom and Gloom Club is, you know, on their last gasps, because every time they make a prediction, it ends up not happening, and things have just continuously not gotten any worse. So I think it'd be funny to...
I remember seeing some guy predicting about Comet Elenin that was going to hit us, you know, a little while ago or something like that. And he says, there's going to be 700 mile an hour winds. There's going to be 5,000 foot tall four tidal waves. You know? Yeah. Oh, yep. My God, people think the end of the world is nigh. It's just like, dude, for goodness sake, every single time somebody predicts the end of the world, it's the end of that person's career, I'm telling you. Because it never happens.
Well, I think it's very, very interesting that it just continues to not happen and not happen and not happen. Now, I do think the end of the world is coming, but it's only going to come for a very small percentage of the population of the planet that doesn't get to live off of all of the labors and efforts of the, you know, rest of the planet anymore. I think that'll be a pretty tough world for them to live in. I'm sure it will seem awful to them, and I'm sure that's why those doom and gloom predictions get perpetuated, is because I think it would be... safe to say that the one percenters, you know, have the people that have all the information are looking at the information and going, oh, we're in trouble. We're in big trouble. I don't know what to do. Well, let's just keep doing what we're doing and see how long we can get away with it. And, yeah.
It's like sitting on the couch, watching TV, eating potato chips, getting fat, and thinking to yourself, you know, maybe I should actually stop eating these potato chips and stop watching the TV and get off the couch, go get some exercise. Nah, I'll just keep doing it. It'll be sweet as, you know. Yeah. And by the end of the year, you're even more fat, you know. Yeah.
And then what happens when one day abruptly potato chips don't exist and TV don't exist? Then what do you do with your life? Well, it gets turned upside down real quick.
Well, that's acting under the assumption that you have a small machine there in order to help you actually turn your life turn over in bed, let alone turn your life around.
Well, it's undeniable that people that don't work out and exercise and eat right have bad health. And the only way to improve health is radical change. Well, yeah. The people that are already working out and exercising and starting to turn around are going to be okay. The people that have been working out like crazy and eating right the whole time, you know, won't be affected that much, but their life will be that much better when the big changes happen. Like I said, it's big change and it's coming, and it's coming way faster than most people want to admit because they can't handle it.
Yeah, it's like the truth in that respect, isn't it? When you recognize the very nasty truth about lots and lots of things, as we do, you begin to recognize that I'd started to believe in lies, and I'd believed in lies for a very long period of time. And so that means all that education that I thought that I was getting, all that experience that I thought I was getting, I wasn't. And now I have to start from scratch. It's like I have to go back to my ABCs. I have to go back and dance the hokey-tokey again like I did in elementary school.
Exactly. And it's probably exactly what happened to the world is flat people when all of a sudden we discovered that the world was actually a sphere. You know, I'm sure there was people that hung on to the world is flat for a long time after the evidence was pretty clear.
Yeah, the evidence was sphere and they fell flat on their earth. All right. We'll be right back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Wood is my guest. And he also, incidentally, has a show on Wolf Spirit Radio, who are simulcasting this wee broadcast there. Big shout out, guys. We'll be right back.
Every Monday night from 7 to 9 Pacific Standard.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The phone lines, we have fixed them. And we had somebody calling in earlier on a 312 area code, and I hope you will call back so we can take your questions and what have you. The number, ladies and gentlemen, please give us a call if you can to talk with Bill Wood and myself, is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. And one more time, 218-339-8525. It's 218-339-8525. Now, lastly, questions that we normally ask on the show, I'm pretty sure you might have a fair few things to say on this topic, is that we all self-censor a little bit, don't we? And sometimes we bite our tongues about certain things because it might be a little bit risque or make people think we're crazy or whatever. You know, we all self-censor for some reason or another. And one thing I like to use my show for is to allow people to have a good time, first of all, and two, to express themselves freely without, you know, any negative judgment or being called up on anything or whatever. You know, it's just chill, man. Your platform, talk about whatever you want to talk about, go for your life. That's pretty much it. So if you have anything along those lines, Bill, here's the place.
Okay, so, well, let's really crack the lid on crazy and talk about some recent events that have happened in my life and kind of life of my little worlds. Number one, the Don Shipley lawsuit that's been filed against me and Wolf Spirit Radio to keep Wolf Spirit from putting out my messages is being answered as we speak, and we're moving forward on that. So no worries about us going off the air anytime soon, but we are going into kind of a tenacious time, and it's been kind of high stress for me and poor Dave Corso. You know, I'm a lot younger than he is, so it's a lot harder for him to deal with the level of crazy. And, you know, the federal agents that showed up at Dr. Pete Peterson's house looking for me were unfortunately not on the right trail, because Dr. Peterson didn't know where I went next. So, you know, he's safe and sound, and nobody needs to worry about that. And then I guess the big issue of the recent past is the advent of a guy coming out by the pseudonym Drake. And basically, he's talked about the mass arrests being imminent, and the sovereign nation laws, which I can attest to everybody, do exist. They're international laws, and anybody can use them to basically do exactly what Mr. Drake is talking about. And the good news is that that step is kind of the precursor to the mass arrests, because about the same time the mass arrests start to happen, America starts to claim back its sovereignty and goes back under a republic government and puts away this democratic government that we got saddled with for, you know, a couple of hundred years. And a whole new system starts coming online. And it changes basically everything. Financial, social, all the way, you know, down to the laws that we live by and our prison system and our corporate system. Everything has to change radically. So I do want to say that I think David Wilcock gave Drake a golden opportunity to get some good information out in a forum that wasn't going to be guerrilla journalism, and so he was able to speak coherently about the subject, and I would encourage everybody to kind of investigate what's going on with that, because the man's got some really good information. And if you're me, and you hear David Wilcox talk about the vetting process and who vetted him and how his information was from a compartmentalized source that he just recently received as, you know, step up to the platform and start talking kind of information, you know, it's exactly what happened to me. So realize that if you don't believe it on this go around, there's going to be somebody that comes out after Drake, and they're going to tell their story, and then another, and then another, and then another, and then another. And until the information is basically publicly known and well accepted. But this is a process. So let's just say there's a big hole in the dam of disinformation now, and all the good information is leaking out all the cracks, and some good information is coming out a fair-sized hole right now. So keep listening to American Freedom Radio, keep listening to Wolf Spirit Radio, keep up with the articles from David Wilcock and Drake and myself, and we will give you more information than you can handle in one breath. So get ready to see some stuff happening, because it's about to go down. And there's nothing anybody of the 1% can do about it anymore. So just be prepared.
Indeed. Right, so we have a caller now. Area code 306, you're on the air. Can you hear us? Speak up if you can. Apparently not. Well, the inevitability of victory, right, I think is something that some people are very, very kind of cautious about. They kind of don't want to get it too far ahead of themselves, count their chickens or what have you. Like, I'm not going to say that we're definitely going to win. It's like they're skeptical, right? And the skeptics, you know, these people who will say that, oh, you must be full of crap or whatever, it's not a reliable source, etc. They're always skeptical of alternative media, but they're never skeptical, it seems, of mainstream media. They're always skeptical of like small little companies that make herbal supplements, but they're never skeptical of major pharmaceutical cartels. You know, the door doesn't swing both ways for these people. It's because they're in a straight up flat denial, don't you think? And you can't really help somebody who's in denial. They have to progress to the next stage kind of on their own. If they're capable of reasoning, you can then talk to them and just keep going on ahead and what have you. But if they're not in a reasonable state of mind, it's basically just a waste of your time. And we've got our caller on the line here, and you seem to have the radio on in the background. We can hear now. Might want to turn that radio off in the background there, caller.
And you can't help somebody who's in denial. They have to progress to the next stage, kind of on their own.
All right. Have you got it sorted there? Okay, cool. Are you there, caller? Oh my god, it's just getting awful now. Caller on the 306 297 area code there. You just need to like turn off the radio in the background and then say hello, and you'll wind up actually being on air and be able to ask Bill Wood a question or something of that nature if you can.
Yes.
Yes.
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Hey, can I just ask him? He was talking about 9/11. Who's he say did the act of 9/11?
Well, that's not an easy question to answer because it wasn't one person. You have to realize that there was a whole lot of people, corporations, and other, you know, nefarious activities that were benefiting from that whole thing. Whoever got the gold out of the basement from Comdex, they made out. Whoever made the massive trades on the morning before 9/11, they made out. The government corporations that make their money off of death and war, they made out. If you want me to try to pin it on one person, I don't think I could do that. You know, there's some major players in it, and you know, the one that I continue to look at and get upset with and blame, if we could, you know, drill it down to the most likely suspect was the Bush presidency and the cabinet, Vice President Cheney, Defense Secretary Rumsfeld. You know, there was a lot of people in on this game, and there was more than massive financial benefit from it. But I honestly believe. Go ahead.
Did Israel have anything to do with it?
Can't really say for sure, but let's just say that the money that they get from the U.S. has gone up substantially, and I can back that up with facts.
There was also an Israeli shipping company that had its offices in the World Trade Center, and they moved out the week before 9/11, and they broke their lease.
Well, and even the person that owned the World Trade Center didn't have to clean up a building and a half worth of asbestos that was going to have to happen early in the next year. But
incidentally, you know, on that, the asbestos removal was going to be more expensive than, you know, building the Twin Towers again kind of thing.
Exactly.
And so they wanted to do controlled demolition. And a friend of mine, her sister is owns Nikau Contractors. It's one of the largest contractors in New Zealand. And they went over to New York before 9/11 happened to have a look at the Twin Towers and to bid on a contract for asbestos removal, because the EPA had told the World Trade Center that, their ideal of controlled demolition just wasn't feasible because it would be too dangerous with all the toxic dust and asbestos cloud going all over New York City. So they decided they couldn't do controlled demolition. But conveniently, it happened anyway.
Yeah, it was amazing how the physics of what could have and should have happened when and if the top part of the building fell down, what was supposed to happen as opposed to what did happen. I'll put it in very simple terms for everybody. Everybody knows when you swing a hammer at a nail, the second that the head of the hammer hits the nail, the hammer starts to slow down. So why didn't the top of the building that was hitting the rest of the building ever slow down? It's amazing. And why do we show pictures of Building 7 falling down to any demolitions expert without telling them it's Building 7 and say, what is this? That they all universally say, oh, that's a controlled demolition. Why? What was it supposed to be?
Can I ask you just one more question? There was some Israeli Mossad agents that was caught in vans loaded with explosives, reported on CNN, plus Dan Rather's that night. You can go to YouTube and see it. What would the Israelis be doing with vans loaded with explosives crossing the George Washington Bridge? What would be their motive for that?
Well, you watched three buildings blow up that day. I'd say it's pretty obvious.
Maybe they decided that they didn't want to actually be in the buildings when the vans exploded, so they decided, no, come on, bro, let's just sit back. Let's just go over the bridge and just sit here so we've got a decent view of all the fireworks that are going to go off, and just sit here and celebrate it, you know, film it with our video cameras and what have you, and then later on get arrested and released.
Well, yeah, I mean, you nothing happened to him.
So was there any Muslims, you think, involved in 9/11?
What's that?
Were there any Muslims involved in 9/11?
Oh, of that I have no doubt. But they were patsies.
Yeah, they were the kind of cocaine-snorting, strip club-frequenting, alcoholic Muslims that use CIA credit cards.
Hey, they
the real
really...
religious fanatic ones you're talking about.
Exactly.
The real clean-cut family guys, you know what I'm talking about?
Thank you a lot, you guys. Yep.
Hey, before you go, I'd like to ask you a question, if you'd like. I was wondering, what woke you up to the sort of New World Order agenda and 9/11, Israel, the whole deal?
Watching 9/11 on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to realize that my background, you know, does have a fair amount of demolitions in it. And, you know, I spent the day, I can tell you everything about it. I was working, just had gotten out of the military under, you know, not so good circumstances. And, you know, no matter how bad it was still better than what I was doing. So I was pretty happy about it. And I was working at a construction project at a district school building. And got to work, you know, early, around 7 o'clock. And by that time, you know, the announcement was going off all over the news. And we spent the entire day, you know, inside the district school building just watching the TV. I'm having a mini nervous breakdown because I'm watching all this happen going, I can't believe this really just happened, because of the information that I had that made it so I could put the...
We'll be right back, folks. Final segment. Taking your calls. Ladies and gentlemen, please call in 218-339-8525. Quickly going to our first caller that we have on the ranks here. to area code 214. State your first name and what state you're calling from.
Hello, guys. I'm Pam in Tornado Alley in Dallas. We made it through okay yesterday, but I have a question for either of both of you. There are people who believe that Obama is one of the good guys. I don't personally believe that. They think that. I know, but wait, it gets better. They believe that he signed NDAA and the rest of this horrible legislation so that the arrest of all of the bad guys can be accomplished. What do you guys think about that?
Are these people smoking crack?
They must be. They must be. I'm telling you, there are a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, let me state two documents here. Declaration of Independence. Everybody's created equal under God, and now they're equal under the drone. And Constitution, you know, ain't you supposed to have rights against unlawful searches and seizures or perhaps kidnapping or perhaps, you know, that you're guaranteed due process, you know, not just being black bagged like on V for Vendetta and being hustled away in a car?
Exactly. I agree. And I was just wondering, gee, is there something? I've even heard people say, oh, he's a double agent. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. I don't believe that for a second. Let's just make that clear.
Well, let me present a little caveat that give you something to think about, since this was my experience. Anybody that would ever ascend to the level of presidency probably has something really, really big that can be used against them.
Sure.
And I am absolutely 100% positive that is the truth with President Obama.
Oh, well, we know there's plenty about him that's not known, don't we?
But the proof is going to be which side of the fence he falls on when things really start to go down. Because I guarantee there's plenty of nefarious players in this game right now that once did some pretty horrible things, yours truly included, but have turned it around and are now fighting for the people the way they always should have been fighting for the people. So it wouldn't surprise me to see if you took the weight off of the poor man's head, which way that he could go either direction. However, comma, he's got a lot of making up to do. It'll be tough to make up for what he's done. I will say that.
Awesome. Well, you guys both keep up the good work. And
thank
hang
you
on
so
to your
much
hats,
for your
because it looks like we're in for a wild roller coaster ride.
I like wild roller coaster rides. Right, well, thanks, Pam. You have yourself a fabulous day there, and I hope you don't get blown away.
Yeah. Well, we're good for now, so. All right. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Pam.
Thanks.
See ya.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, going to our next caller, area code 831. You're on the air. What's your first name and state you're calling from?
My name is Sean, and I'm calling from California.
Oh, yeah? What can we do for you, Sean?
Oh, yeah, I just want to be, I was hoping you guys, I heard you guys talking so good about this Thrive video. And I just thought, you know, I like you guys, and I listen to your radio show all the time. Just to take a little caution, not to jump right in all the way, both feet first. You know, there's something shady about the whole thing in a certain sense. They come out with all these good ideas, and it's really lovey-dovey. But if they really wanted to make changes, you know, this guy's a billionaire. He could have spent that $8 or $9 million for the video actually to implement a lot of the ideas, and also the whole thing is kind of like this new agey kind of trying to co-opt the whole truther movement kind of thing, where they bring their religiosity into the mix, and it's just kind of, it's too lovey-dovey, yay kind of thing. What do you think is your take on that?
I agree with you on a principle with that, because I find it similar to the zeitgeist in a sense, because it assumes that everybody can get along if we're just put in the right environment. And there's a lot of truth to that. But there's also a lot of concern and a lot of caution that people must place upon anybody who thinks that they've got all the answers. Because as I say, you know, the person who thinks he knows everything obviously knows nothing. Whether or not, I think, I do disagree with you, though, that if he was a billionaire and whatever, he could have spent the money instead of making this film to implement some of the projects. Some people are very artistically minded, and art can influence people in a very deep way, can inspire them greatly, much more than, say, technical aspects, projects, things of that nature. And yet, an artwork like a film can reach those technically minded people, give them new ideas, that kind of thing. And in my opinion, the most effective form of getting ideas out there and getting them implemented is actually just getting people to understand them first.
And if well, I agree. A lot of the information is really good. I liked it, maybe say 90% of it. Then I was seeing some things, you know, where they're charging $5 and, you know, people wanted to spread it virally in a good, wholesome kind of grassroots level. They slammed that down.
Well, actually, it's coming. Funny you should say that, because well, yeah, you go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I know it's coming 3 years soon.
Yeah. First of all, let me say that how do you know he isn't sponsoring projects that are getting ready to come online that would make big changes? Number two, a lot of people have echoed the comments about why charge for it if it's so important. And that has been a big movement, and one that has gotten such a voice that on April 5th, the video will be released to the general public. It was a very expensive production to produce. The money that it generated did a lot of good, so don't hate too hard. And now that it's going to be free and be able to go out virally, I think you'll see that a foundation was built with the people that wanted it bad enough to pay for it. And throw it out there. Now you're going to see a whole new level to the message get out. As far as the spirituality of it, I'm afraid that's just kind of the direction that the world needs to go in, because it's the negative that has been controlling us for so long. It's anger and hate and fear that the 1% is used to keep us at each other's throats so we don't notice that their hand's in our wallet. So
we do need
both.
But
if you look in deeper with like the New Age and Madame Blavatsky, the theosophists, and the same ones that have co-opted or have controlled the Zeitgeist movement, they're in there. If you look deeper, it's all essentially the same Luciferians using this lovey-dovey, oh, we're all one, New Agey kind of thing. And it's you got to be careful because you're going to be drinking the Kool-Aid. These people are sophisticated. They are super, you know, they got think tanks with people with 200 IQs. They're not messing around. They know how to move the cattle in the directions they want to. And all the good-hearted truthers that really want a really wholesome grassroots something, they co-opt it. They sneak in. They're
well, you know what?
Strategizing.
Sean, you know what I mean? I think you've actually raised something really important here, but I'm sorry, we're going to have to we're going to have to go to our next caller before the show ends.
Okay.
And I'll say this: you're 100% right. The way I think people can stop getting co-opted into things is A1, stop joining groups, and number two, start thinking for yourself.
Exactly. Turn off the television and get off the couch. Get out from behind the keyboard. It's the only way it'll work.
Thanks, Sean, for your call. Next caller, we've got to be real quick. Area code 478, what's your name and state you're calling from, please?
Hi, this is Heather from Georgia. Hi, Bill. Hi, Vinny. I think that you guys are both wonderful. Thank you so much for all you do. Bill, I was wondering if you could answer, it might seem a ridiculous question, but have you been in touch with Aaron McCollum?
Yes, not directly, but he's definitely part of our little super soldier network. I know that he's
wonderful.
Kind of underground right now and tired of getting hammered, so he hasn't been doing much, but Dave Corso and Duncan O'Finian know what he, you know, who he is and what he's been doing. He's just kind of off the radar right now, though. Yeah.
Well, I understand, and I just think that he's another person like yourself who has a lot of integrity and sincerity and who was trying to do the right thing but kind of got, you know, chewed up and spit out by the alternative media. And I love Aaron. I love you. I think that you're wonderful, and that's about it. Thank you so much for taking my call, Vinny. You're wonderful. Thank you.
Well, Heather, let me just say real quick while we got you that I think you're going to be surprised in the very near future that you're going to hear a lot of those old voices start to chime in again.
Good.
I'm conducting those operations as we speak, so yeah, just wait. Some of those people that you liked hearing from a couple of years ago, maybe they're ready to talk again.
And well, maybe they're ready to have a drone come by their house.
I hope that includes Mr. Pete Peterson. And
Friends with Pete, and I guarantee he'll be on an interview very soon.
That's wonderful to hear. Bill, thank you so much. I'm appreciative of your time, Vinny. You're doing a great job. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call too, Heather. It's nice to hear have new callers and things of that nature. So, mate, today's been quite a really good show, Bill. Thank you so much for coming on for a full 2 hours, bro. I know you think we were supposed to be going on like an hour later, but you're still there anyway. Thanks, man.
Hey, I kind of had the afternoon set aside, so no worries. It was great to be on the show. Really appreciate the opportunity. And if ever you need me, I've got plenty more to talk about, so, you know, dial my phone number and I'll probably be on the other end.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.